I bring you a message titled Faithful Decisions. If you would please stand with me as we reverence the reading of God's Word. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11, Faithful Decisions. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." And may God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Brother Bill just set us up. God set us up perfectly for this message. And for Moses and the people, they look forward to heaven. And I hope that you can confidently say that you look forward to heaven, that one day we will all sound off in heaven with a mighty choir. This morning, we're going to look at three faithful decisions from Hebrews 11 and Exodus concerning the life of Moses and how the decisions that were made can not only be applied to our own lives, but the lives of our families, the ones that we love. We live in a world that is full of decision making. There are college courses, classes, seminars, and some degrees today that will teach you how to make decisions. Several studies suggest that the average adult makes 35,000 decisions per day. A study out of one university found that we make 226.7 choices each day just on the food that we will eat. That's just food. And men, if you've ever asked your wife where she wants to go to eat, you know how the complexity of this decision making. I might be in trouble now. But you know that we make decisions every day. All of us are in this decision-making business. If we should sleep in or come to church this morning was a decision that you made. Will we go to Sunday school or not? What will I wear? What shoes will I wear? Will I wear a tie or not? You made a conscious decision to sit exactly where you sat this morning and you weighed your options. Oh, I'm not going to sit over there. I'm going to sit here. This is what's comfortable. Oh, I can't sit over there. They might talk to me. Far greater than deciding on what food we eat, what we will wear, or where we will sit, there are decisions that we make that take great thought. These decisions can be how we spend our time, what we will exhort the most energy to, the career path that we will follow, who we will marry, if we will have kids or when we will have kids, to go to college or not, how we will spend our resources, our money, where we will live, when we will retire. For some of us, these choices are laborious, and for some they are not. But we nevertheless have to make decisions in our life. But when it comes to decisions of the faith, there are decisions that have the greatest impact on our lives while we were here on earth, but also the life after this. One is exposed to the word of God and convicted of their sin, and there is a decision to be made. To believe or to not believe. What great consequences follow either of those choices? To believe resulting in salvation or to reject the gospel resulting in separation from God for all of eternity. Of all the decisions, this is the most important decision that one could ever make, to accept the gospel. You can make a lot of decisions in your life, and you will make a lot of decisions in your life. Some will be weighty and some will not. But the most important decision is if you will follow Jesus, if you will give your life to Jesus. This is the decision that matters the most and above all. As we get into the passage today, I pray that we can all leave here making a decision for the sake of the kingdom. Our decisions may be different. For some, it may be turning away from sin. For some, it may be stepping up to the plate. For some, it may be full surrender. Whatever it is, let us make faithful decisions in our lives. And in the years to come, we can point back to these moments, these faithful decisions that we made. We can point back and we can say, "I am so glad that I made that decision for Jesus. I'm so glad that I gave my life to Jesus. I'm so glad that I surrendered all. I'm so glad that I laid that addiction down. I'm so glad that I gave that to the Lord. Let us be a people who make faithful decisions. At the end of Genesis, we find God's people in the land of Egypt. God brought his people out of the land of Canaan when there was a great famine in the land. And it was Jacob's son, Joseph, who was put in charge of Egypt during this famine. And he would lead Egypt to be prosperous. But not only that, he would protect his family. He would save his family. God had a plan in all of that. The book of Genesis ends with God's people dwelling in the land of Egypt. And for a little while, life was good. I'm reminded of what Joseph said to his brothers when his brothers were before them. He said, "What you meant it for evil, God meant it for good." And we can see this even in Exodus. This is echoed throughout Scripture. What you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. And in Exodus chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, 'Look, the people of the children of Israel are far more mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us. And so go up out of the land.' Therefore they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor." We must observe that the Hebrews have grown in great number at this point while they are in Egypt. Pharaoh saw their great numbers and enslaved them to harsh labor with hope of suppressing their growth. This, however, did not work, and they grew in number even more. He would then tell the Hebrew midwives to kill all the males that are born to the Hebrew women. But the midwives, they feared the Lord and would not do what was asked of them by the Pharaoh, and the people grew even more. He would then command the Egyptian people to throw all the Hebrew boys who were born into the Nile River. It's hard to imagine the number of Hebrew boys who were slain during this time, who were killed, who were outright murdered during this time. And it was a troublesome time for God's people. It would be during this difficult time that we would see God's hand intercede for his children through a man named Moses. But before there was a Moses, there was a family that made a decision to trust God, even when they could not see how everything would work out. I'm reminded of that scripture once again, what Joseph said to his brothers, "What you meant it for evil, God meant it for good." In 2 Corinthians 5, 7, we can see the way that they walked. And the way that we should walk also, it says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And John 20, 29 is a reminder, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." We will look this morning at the faithful decisions of Moses' parents. The faithful decision of the parents. Hebrews 11, 23 says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents." I had never noticed this in Scripture until recently. We were going over the book of Exodus with our teenagers in the attic. And this is what has led my heart here. And the teenagers that are here, they're gonna be preached to twice. But some of it's going to be new for them, because I'm going to preach to some of you parents too during this. But I read through this, and I was reading through Hebrews about Moses. And it said, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months." By who? By his parents. "Because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command." Notice that the scripture says that it was by faith Moses was hidden for 3 months by his parents. Moses' parents are listed in the great hall of faith in Hebrews 11. They are listed among Noah and listed among Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and so many others who lived a life of faith towards God. These parents who made a decision that they were going to follow Jesus. These parents who walked by faith and not by sight. These parents who trusted that God had a better way, no matter what was going on in the world, that God was going to intercede for them. These parents lived by faith. It was a faithful decision that led them to decide that they would not obey the commands of the Pharaoh to have the child killed. This was dangerous as far as society was concerned. This was dangerous as far as their neighbors were concerned. This was dangerous as far as their family was concerned. Their neighbors and their family probably thought that they were crazy. You're going to have a baby? Do you know what Pharaoh is doing if you have a boy? There's a 50-50 chance we know how that's going to work out. They would have a boy. Now, my house, if you come into it, we have a lot of babies at our house, and those babies, they do something. It's called cry. And I don't know what they did to stop baby Moses from crying. I don't know if the whole neighborhood got together and they soundproofed that wall of the hut that they were living in. I don't know what they did, but they did it by faith. And they trusted that God had a plan. The boy could have been killed. They could have chose to kill the baby. I understand that we are living in troubling times today, even as we speak. And some even fear to bring children into the world. I can't bring children to this world. This world is crazy. It's always been that way since the fall. Moses' parents did not allow the fear of the unknown cripple their faith. But their faith shone even more. But they rather chose to believe that God would make a way. Parents, I wish to offer you some freedom. Don't expect others to understand the decisions that you make as parents when you've been led by faith to make that decision. God did not call others to lead your children. He called you to lead your children, and you do it by faith. People are worried about, well, what are they going to say if we do this? What are they going to say if we put a bubble around our kid and protect them from the world the best that we can? Whatever you do, whichever way you're led, whether it's public school or homeschool, whether it's this type of diet or that type of diet, whether it's, I can't go into too much of that. Whatever you do it by faith. Even more, we rely on Jesus to guide us. We know that the decisions that we make can affect our children. Children come into this world and they have no choice in the matter, whether to be born or not. They are left completely defenseless and rely on their parents to give them what they needed to survive. But even more than that, they rely on us modeling what faith is and what faith is not. Let them see you make decisions of faith regularly. But not only that, as they follow Christ, and as your children mature, as my children mature, as your grandchildren mature, as they come to know the Lord as their Savior, as they start to ask questions, as they start to dig deeper, allow them to come alongside you and make faithful decisions. We wonder why our children and my generation, the generation behind me, is not making faithful decisions. It's because we're not modeling it to them. We're not allowing them to come beside us and make decisions. We're not allowing them to open up the scriptures and let the word of God speak to them. And we wonder why this generation of kids are walking away from the faith. Because they've not seen it modeled before them. They have not seen their parents make godly decisions. They have not seen their parents bring them into this conversation and say, why are we doing this, mom and dad? Why are we doing this? And you get to point them to faith and say, well, this is why we are doing this. They are relying on us to model what faith is, or what faith looks like. We, as Jesus followers, who are also parents, should talk to our children about what God is calling us to. Talk to your children about the struggles that you've walked through. Talk to your children about what God has shown you. Talk to your children about what God is teaching you in the moment. Talk to your children about who God is calling us to, where He is leading you, and why we feel led to do certain things in our lives. Our children are watching and listening. They are looking at us as an example. They are watching to see if we walk by faith and not by sight. They want to see if we really believe what we say we believe. And whenever we show them this, whenever we model this faith to them, this should spark a desire within them to know more about Jesus, to follow Jesus more, to seek Jesus more. It should lead them to make faith decisions in their own life. I think about Moses' sister Miriam. We do not know how old she was when Moses was born. Some have guessed that she was anywhere between 5 and 12, but that's just a guess. But we do know that she was old enough to follow the basket down the river that her mother had placed Moses in, a river infested with crocodiles. We know that she witnessed her parents hide her little brother for 3 months, defying the Pharaoh. She would walk up and talk to Pharaoh's daughter, an act that could have gotten her killed. Where did she learn such faith to trust in God? Where did she learn it? Her parents had modeled it before her. They had taught her. This is what it looks like to follow God. Decisions that we make or do not make can possibly change the course of not only our lives, but the lives of generations to come. And yes, I said possibly. Let it be said about us when we are gone from this place that we lived out our faith and it changed everything. May your great-grandchildren point back to a moment in your life that you gave your life to Christ and it changed everything. When they can point back to the decision that you made and it broke a generational curse of sin upon your family, and they can point back to it and say, well, our family used to be this, but because you stepped out in faith, because you walked by faith and not by sight, everything changed. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Someone or something is training your child. And it better be you. It better be me. This world is out to get the children, to get our children. Too many times we as parents take the back seat to our children's spiritual formation. We take the passive approach and we say, they'll figure it out. It'll all fall into place, and maybe it will, but maybe it won't. Our children need to see the faith that we have. They need to see it on display. We need to talk about it. We need to show them. We need to live it out. How do we make sure our children have a faith that is going to withstand the trials and tribulations that they will one day face? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We make the word of God the most important things in our lives. And we make the most important thing in their lives. Not basketball, not baseball, not academics, not relationships, not who they're going to marry, not who they're not going to marry, not prosperity, not popularity. The cost is far too great for us to back down. The cost is far too great for us to allow the world to have a great impact on our children. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and rebuke give wisdom. But a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. The cost is far too great to leave our children and our grandchildren and whoever God has entrusted you with to themselves. We get to point them towards God's word. And we get to show them this is how we live out our faith. It's not empty. It's full. It's not just words. It's words in action. Not only do we see the faithful decisions of the parents, but we also see the faithful choice of the child. In Hebrews 11, verse 24, it says, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches from the treasures, than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. There is no doubt that we see what the faith of Moses led him to. He chose. He chose, it says, Scripture says, rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. God is not a puppet master and going to force you or your children to make decisions throughout your lives or their lives. We have free will to choose the things of God or to not choose the things of God. Either way, a choice must be made. Moses had a choice to make in his life, and no doubt it must have been a difficult choice. And it's a difficult choice for our children. It's a difficult choice for us. He came to a certain point in his life that he chose by faith to suffer affliction with the people of God. Imagine this. Moses was in a position in Egypt as the Pharaoh's grandson. Some have speculated that Moses was next in line as Pharaoh. He would have access to all the delicacies and pleasures that Egypt had to offer. He would have had all the treasures and possessions that would could not count. Any desire that he wanted to be fulfilled could have been fulfilled at a word. Power and status were his, but he chose to rather go the way of God and not the way of the world. This world is still promising the pleasures that it has to offer to our children, and they will have to make a choice to honor God or to follow after the world. We cannot sit on the sidelines while our children are in the midst of the game of life and not warn them of the dangers of a sinful life. Yes, the choice is theirs, but may our voice in their life have more influence than the voice of temptation and sin. May our voice in their life be louder. This was not an easy choice for Moses, and it certainly will not be an easy choice for our children. And if we want to be honest, it's not an easy choice for us either. Moses had thought his decision out, and he chose. It says in verse 25 of Hebrews 11, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. In verse 26, it says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasures in Egypt. The word for esteeming there means he figured. Some translations say that he considered. He thought it out. He judged. In today's world, I worry that young people and even followers of Jesus as a whole are not thinking about the decisions that they are making. We live in one of the most do what makes you happy and most instant societies that our world has ever seen. And I worry that very little people are actually considering the implications of the decisions that they are making or not making. Moses had figured and made his mind up. Over here are the pleasures of Egypt. There is the pleasure of sin. He could see it. Then there are the riches of Christ. Moses looks ahead and he sees the goodness of God. He sees the favor of the Savior, the greatness of the Redeemer. He can see the outcome of a life spent following after God and the rewards that that life brings. And he made his choice by faith. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Moses, he didn't have that verse there, but he esteemed the things of God greater than what Egypt had to offer him. He saw that the things that God had to offer him were better than this world had to offer him. We must teach our children to make a decision. We must teach our children the word. We must teach them about what God, this life of faith and what God's promises means for them when they come to know Jesus as their Savior. That heaven is far greater than this world. That the things of this world, they're passing away. They're only going to last last for a moment. The pleasures of this world, they're only going to last for a moment. That feeling is only going to feel good for a moment. But the things that are from God, the things that Jesus brings us into our life, those things are the things that last for eternity. Those things are the things that matter. If we're not teaching that to our children, then what are we teaching them? We're teaching them that the world has something better for them. And that is not the case. That life leads to death and destruction. And it's as if Moses could see that. He could see that the life that Egypt had to offer him wasn't any good. And I pray, I hope that our children can see that. That this the things of this world, this world's offering our children is not any good. Just going to go away. There was a faithful decision of the parents. And there was a faithful choice of the child. And lastly, we see the faithful refusal. In Hebrews 11, verse 24, it says, "But by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." It was by faith that Moses chose to suffer affliction. It was by faith that Moses chose to refuse. We must pay attention to that. It was all by faith. Moses had made his mind up about the choice that he was going to make. And because he had made his mind up, that led to him refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. When he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he gave up that position to take on a higher calling of God. He refused the pleasures of Egypt. The world around Moses must have thought that he had gone crazy. He was adopted into this family, and now he wanted out. People would have killed to have the power, the possessions, and the position that Moses had. Even today, people would do just about anything to have this type of status, but not Moses. Moses had evaluated the lifestyle that was promised to him through the Egyptians, and he rejected it. Many times we want the will power to say no, but we haven't yet chose what we are saying yes to. This is why we give into temptation so easily. Because we haven't said yes in our hearts and in our lives to the greater riches of Christ. Moses said no to Egypt because he had already said yes to God. I'm reminded of Daniel in the land of Babylon. When Daniel chose that he would not defile himself while living in captivity. In Daniel 1:8 it says, "But Daniel was determined." Another translation said that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself by eating the food and wine that was given to them by the king. Moses and Daniel refused. When we refuse the things of this world and even our own fleshly desires, we are relying on God to help us overcome. This was a defining moment in the life of Moses. He was relying on God to show up. Daniel was relying on God to show up. Noah was relying on God to show up. Abraham was relying on God to show up. Sarah was relying on God to show up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were relying on God to show up. Paul was relying on God to show up. Peter was relying on God to show up. Can I go on? They were relying on God to show up. Depending on God to move in a way that only God could. In every case, go throughout Scripture, there was a choice and there was a refusal. The enemy would like nothing more than for you and I to sit back and to not refuse anything that comes our way. Whatever comes our way, as far as the world is concerned, as far as sin is concerned, the enemy would love for us to take that on. He would love for us to not teach our children about the reality of sin. If we live this way, our lives will reap the wreckage of this type of lifestyle. We don't know what Moses' life would have been like if he would have said yes to Egypt. And thank God that he didn't. God had a plan for Moses. This type of lifestyle can reap the wreckage on our lifestyle, or on us, on our lives. It can damage our families, and our families will endure the consequences. Our marriages will suffer the repercussions. Our life will be in shambles. As we begin to close, I want to leave you with a few encouragements from Scripture. There can be a true pleasure found in Christ. Moses saw that. He saw that what God had for him was better than what Egypt had for him. And I hope that you can testify of that too. That you can say, I made a decision to follow Jesus because I knew what God had for me was better than what the world had for me. And I hope that you can teach it to your children and your grandchildren and your nieces and your nephews, that they can see that faith lived out in you. That it's not just words, but it's actions. There's true pleasure found in Christ. God is good. His word tells us that God has good things prepared before us, and that we should walk in them. And he's prepared good things for those that love him. Things we cannot even imagine. Moses knew it. Daniel knew it. Abraham knew it. I pray you do too. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 22 says, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We flee from sin. We run from it. Get as far away from it as we can. And even the lure of it. And we run towards God with God's people. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We hide God's word in not only our hearts, but our children's hearts. And we prepare them for what's ahead. We prepare them so that they can give an answer, so that they can say, I trusted in God. Psalm 37:4 says, delight also yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. We take pleasure in the Lord. God makes us happy. He makes us smile no matter the circumstances. Our heart is set towards him. And we know that the desires that he has given us in him will come to be. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. We trust in the Lord, and in all of our ways, we put him first. In all of our decisions, we put him first. And we show our children that. And then one last verse, Proverbs 14, 26 through 27 says, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. Today, God's people need confidence. And the scripture says, in the fear of the Lord, there is confidence. Your children need confidence. Your grandchildren need confidence. And it says, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. And his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death. We show reverence to God in our lives, in our decisions, in the way that we talk, in the way that we walk, in the things that we do. And we know that we are safe in him. I know that, or I feel that we've covered a little bit of ground this morning. And maybe, just maybe, I stepped on my own toes this morning. And I preached to myself a whole lot more about the things that God is calling me to do, to show my children what it looks like to live a life of faith. But also a challenge for you to show your children and your grandchildren and anyone who looks to you what it looks like to make faithful decisions. Talk about it. Pray about it together. Decide as a family This is the direction that the Lord is leading us. And today I know that in a crowd this size, that maybe there's someone who's never made that ultimate decision to follow Jesus with their life. Jesus said, come and follow me, to his disciples. And the call is still the same, to come and follow Jesus. And so today, if you need to make that decision, I'll be here. Your neighbor beside you would love to talk to you about it. What it looks like for you to give your life to Christ. Would you stand with me?